Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
Have your Bibles. Turn to the Gospel of John, the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John chapter 4, starting with verse 28. John 4, 28. Then the woman, she left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the man, said to all the men, "Come see a man," capital M, "come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" Then they went out of the city and came to him. In the meantime, the disciples urged Jesus, saying, "Hey, Rabbi, it's time to eat." But Jesus said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." How many of you love food? Food make anybody happy? Anybody thinking of food right now? Okay, normally that's what we do. Somewhere in this message, you're going to whisper to that person sitting next to you, or you're going to send somebody a text, and it's probably going to go something like this: "Where are we eating after church?" The disciples go to Jesus and say, "Hey, it's time to eat." But Jesus says, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, time out. There's something that feeds me, and you have no idea what it is. There's nourishment that comes to me, and I'm getting ready to tell you about it." Verse 33, "Therefore the disciples said to one another, 'Has someone brought him something to eat?' Jesus said to them, 'My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work.'" Somebody say finish. Can I tell you, it's not how you start, but it's how you... You know, sometimes you can't help the way you started. Many of you got off to life with a very poor start, and it wasn't your fault. But Jesus comes onto the scene, and he says, "Hey, I'm going to finish the work." Aren't you glad Jesus helps you finish? You can't control the way you start, but enter Jesus Christ, and he helps you cross the finish line in the right way. Now, let me finish with this verse. It says this, Jesus says, "Do you not say there are still 4 months? And then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white with harvest." The two things I want to give you today, and I want you to catch this with your spirit. Don't just hear me with your ears. Listen with your spirit. The two things I want you to walk away with today. Number one, lift up your eyes. And number two, look at the fields. Lift up your eyes and look at the fields. Now, this is a famous conversation that Jesus, in John chapter 4, he's talking to the Samaritan woman at the well. How many of you remember that? Very familiar dialogue. I love the fact that Jesus, he meets this woman in the middle of the day and he speaks to her and he breaks every rule. How many rule breakers do we have in the house? You bunch of rebels. I tell my kids I'm not a rule breaker, I'm a rule bender. Sometimes I'll take the rules and bend them a little bit. But you know what? There was no reason in the world that Jesus should be talking to this woman. Number one, she was a woman. Number two, she was a Gentile. And number three, religiously, there were all kinds of boundaries that Jesus stepped over, every single one. Can I tell you, I don't know what boundaries or barriers are in your soul, but God will break through every one of them to get to you. And he talks to this woman, and he tells her, "Hey, can I have a drink?" She looks at him and says, "Whoa, you don't have anything. What do you? So the conversation is really natural. It's about water, but then it shifts to spiritual. Jesus tells her, "Go get your husband." How many of you know she didn't have a husband? So she says, "Well, I don't have a husband." He said, "You're right. You've had 5 husbands. And the man you're living with right now isn't even your husband." Can I tell you, Jesus will read your mail. You know, you can't hide anything from Jesus. And you know what? This woman leaves the conversation and she runs into the city and she tells everyone, "Come meet a man who told me everything I ever did." Now, let me ask you this. Would you be excited if someone knew everything that you had ever done? Would you be excited for them to announce that? No! But there's something about this man. Come on, somebody say this man. This man was different. In fact, she runs into the city and she says, hey, come meet a man. And they're probably thinking, okay, what number is this? Are we number 5, number 6, number 7? How many men? I mean, they weren't believing a word that she said. But there was something different about this man. Today, I pray that you meet this man. There's something different about Jesus. When she saw Jesus, even though he knew the worst about her, she could still trust him with it. There's a grace that God has for even the messy things in our life. And so out of this conversation, she runs into the community, and then here come the disciples, and we pick up the story there, and Jesus basically tells them, hey, you're missing something. You're missing something. Lift up your eyes and look to the fields. Church, I've got that message on my heart for you today. Because if we're not careful, our eyes are here and we're living for ourselves. Come on, somebody say, oh me. This kind of convict. This message is a strong message today. It convicts me because left to myself, I just think for myself. I live for myself. I do for me. When my alarm clock went off this morning, my first thought was about me and how little sleep I got last night. I wanted that extra hour back. Who's desperate for that extra hour? Oh, I'm going to give me a Holy Ghost nap this afternoon. Get me that time back. Left to ourselves, we think for us, we do for us, we live for us. And Jesus tells his disciples, look, don't put your eyes here. Lift up your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe with harvest. Church, as we enter into this Easter season, it's 3 weeks away. I want us to lift up our eyes and I want us to look around because God is bringing the harvest here. Easter, one of the most important Sundays of the year. Now, every Sunday is important. Every day is important. But you know as well as I do that more people will come to church at Easter. They're more willing to come to church at that moment than really at any other time of the year, Easter and Christmas. This is a great opportunity for us as a church. If we're ready, if we'll lift up our eyes and look at the fields, I believe God will bring us a harvest. Now, I heard Pastor Larry Stockstill say this a couple weeks ago. Some of us had a chance to spend some time with him at a conference that he hosted, and he was talking about lost humanity. He said this, you know, back in October, and many of you probably saw this on the news. Did you see, I think it was CNN reported back in October, that the world's population has reached 7 billion people. 7 billion. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's a lot of toothpaste. 7 billion people. And even the most generous estimates say that 2 billion claim to be Christian. Okay, so out of 7 billion, 2 billion say that they're Christian. And again, and you know that just because you say that you're Christian doesn't necessarily mean you are, but let's just go with that number. Out of 7 billion, 2 billion say, I follow Jesus. You do the math. How many people in the world today are lost? 5 billion people. Now, sometimes numbers can be numbing. We don't really wrap our minds around 5 billion, but here's the picture. What does 5 billion people look like? If you were to start a line right here at the edge of this stage and line up 5 billion people, single file, how long, how far would that line go? Any guess? Okay, let me just put it in perspective. You remember back in 2004, the tsunami that hit Indonesia and 250,000 people died? Remember that? 250,000 people died and their bodies lined the beach. Do you know how long that line was? 250,000 people? 40 miles. How long is 5 billion? If you were to start right here, that line would stretch all the way out this building through Baton Rouge, go through the southeast portion of the United States, cross over the Atlantic Ocean and into Europe. It would cross through Russia. You know, Russia itself has 8 time zones. One nation has eight times. It would cross through Russia. It would go all across Europe. It would go down through Asia and the Pacific. It would cross through the Pacific Ocean back into the west coast of the United States and reach this stage. Not once. Not twice. Not 10 times. Not 20 times. Not 30 times. 37 times. 5 billion people. That's 37 lines of lost humanity. Is that staggering? Church, don't you think we have a huge responsibility to those 37 lines? And Jesus looks at his disciples and says, hey, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are ripe with harvest. 37 lines of lost humanity. And when that picture was painted, it made me lose sleep. It messed with me. I thought, what am I doing to address those 37 lines? What is Healing Place Church doing to address that need? Now, let me ask you this. How many parents do we have? Parents. Okay, let's just put this in perspective. You ever lost a kid for a short time? Okay, some of you are afraid to raise your hands because you think you're a bad parent. No, you're a normal parent. I mean, maybe you're at a grocery store and your child kind of wanders off, and for 30 seconds, can you describe the terror that grips your heart for 30 seconds? Maybe you lost your kid for 5 minutes or a half hour, and that fear that came over you, that panic. And then can you remember what you felt like when you first saw them again? Yeah, you wanted to beat them, didn't you? I mean, yeah, it sure was such love, but you're thinking, well, you better get over here. Don't you ever. Come on, you know how we talk with our teeth clenched? Don't you ever get over here. And you just hug them and you kiss them and then you beat them and then you hug them again. Right? Now, what if I were to say, well, you know, I got three kids. I got three kids. What if I lose one? Oh, Mike, it's not that big a deal. You got two more. 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Come on. We don't think like that, do we? Not with our kids. Let me ask you this. Why would we think like that with anybody else's kids? Ooh, come on. I felt the Holy Ghost there. 37 lines of lost humanity. And God looks down on earth, knowing what he's done to address that and empower the church to bring solution to lost humanity. There's a couple things I want you to write down, because our hearts have to stay filled with a burden for the lost. That's why we exist as a church. That's our very purpose for being. The grace of God that came to you is not just for you. Can somebody help me preach this morning? A couple things I want you to jot down. I'm going to be very practical here moving into this. But the first thought I had is this. Number one, what are we doing about those 37 lines? Number one, let me tell you this. Over the next 3 weeks, this is what I want to see happen all across this church. Number one, go on an outreach. Go on an outreach. It helps you stay in touch. When you go on an outreach, it keeps you in tune with something. We can't lose sight that there is human suffering all around us. Sometimes we live in a bubble. Can I have a good amen? We live in a bubble. We work in a bubble. We have our routine. Sometimes we work very hard at padding our lives with comfort. And if we're not careful, we stay within that level of comfort and we become disconnected from the suffering that's all around us. You know, one of the things I told my wife, baby, look, we can't just be stuck in meetings all day. You know, thank God for meetings and thank God for, you know, we got to make some decisions. But if we don't get out and reach those who are in need, then we forget what it's all about. And sometimes we can get so busy just doing life and doing our own thing. When you go on an outreach, it's basically saying this, hey, your needs are more important than mine. And when you value someone else, when you step into a situation that's filled with pain, then there becomes the potential that we can bring healing to that pain. We have to go where hurting people are. We have to go there. That's what I love about our Baton Rouge Dream Center. That's what I love about our campuses in Mozambique and Swaziland. That's what I love about this church. Now, don't get me wrong. This is a beautiful building. But as beautiful as this building is, it's not the church. We're the church. The church is not bricks and sticks, but it's human hearts and it's human souls. We can't lose sight of that. What's the definition of a successful church? Is it a beautiful campus with a gorgeous building? I thank God for this, but you know what? At the end of the day, this is just a barn is all it is. This is just a gathering place because we want to open the heartbeat of this house for those who are hurting and struggling and suffering. You know, my grandfather used to say it like this. He'd say, boy, you can walk with the council of kings, but don't you dare lose the common touch. Isn't that what we love about Jesus? Here he was, the King of Kings, but he came to earth and he was so common. And anywhere you see broken people or hurting people, wherever you saw human suffering, Jesus was right there. Come on, are you catching this? And if Jesus is where pain is, then the church has got to be in the same place. If we're going to be the hands and the feet of Jesus, we can't isolate ourselves. Whoa, we're successful as a church. Look at all this. Can I tell you, God's not impressed with any of this. You know what impresses God? When there's a group of men and women who go Wednesday morning to the inner city and they pass out scrambled eggs and biscuits and sausage to about 250 homeless men and women on the streets. I think at that moment, it's like all of a sudden, Jesus is like, whoa. Hey, look, there's something happening in Baton Rouge. This may not catch his attention today, but I tell you, when you reach someone else in need, all of heaven stands still. Go on an outreach because it keeps you in touch. My concern for us as a church, and I'm not just saying this church, but I'm talking about the global church. My concern for the global church is that we're losing touch. And when you lose touch, you become irrelevant. You know, I recently heard it said that the top three reasons why people don't come to church, one of the top three reasons is this. It's irrelevant. It just doesn't make any sense to my world. Can I tell you, compassion is always relevant. Doesn't matter the songs that you sing, the style of your presentation, the clothes that you wear. What makes us relevant as a church is a word called compassion. And I want to tell you something about compassion. Compassion is something that a blind man can see, a deaf man can hear, a lost man can feel. The world is motivated and moved by compassion. Make a decision over the next several weeks leading up to Easter that you'll go on an outreach. The Bible says when Jesus looked at the multitudes, Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, when Jesus looked at the multitudes, he was moved with compassion because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Here's the danger, church, is we say, you know what, Healing Place is an outreach church. Yeah, I like to be connected to that. But you know what, that's for the staff. Or that's for the evangelism department. Or that's for the outreach director. No. I would love for 5,000 people that come to this campus to go on an outreach over the next 3 weeks. Can you imagine blitzing this city with compassion? What that says to a community? Hey, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Your compassion says, I care for you. I care for you enough to stop what I'm doing, to step outside of my bubble and to step into your world. Isn't that what Jesus did? Did Jesus himself not go on an outreach? 2,000 years ago, God sent Jesus from heaven. He said, son, that world is lost. It's dying. It's spinning out of control. And guess what? I'm getting involved. I'm sending you. Jesus went on an outreach. Guess what? If anybody's in touch with where we are, it's our King. Go on an outreach. Because you can't bring healing to pain if you're not close enough to touch that pain. Sign up. Servolution. Lift up your eyes. and look at the fields. Number two, second thing, here's what I'm asking you to do over the next several weeks. Number two, not only go on an outreach because it keeps you in touch, but number two, share your faith because it'll keep you sharp. Something about sharing your faith. Let me ask you this question. When was the last time you personally told your salvation experience to someone else? When was the last time you told someone what God did for you? The goodness of God that came to us doesn't just stop with us. You know how to multiply your spirit is to tell somebody else what God's done for you. Question, when was the last time you invited someone to church? Now look, this, I'm not trying to guilt anyone today. I'm speaking from my own pain, my own situation. This word has convicted me. Can I tell you, I see my father-in-law sitting right back here. Let me tell you something about Papa. We call him Papa. Papa worked at Exxon for 37 years. Worked a lot of night work, night shift. I mean, just a hard worker. But you know what? Here's what I love about my father-in-law, Rachel's daddy. We'll be at a restaurant, and without fail, he does this every time. The lady or the young man that's waiting our table, he'll ask her, "Hey, where do you go to church?" I mean, he used to do that, and I, when he would say that, I would be like, "Oh, man, we're not quite ready for that yet. Don't. I mean, he's already pulling the trigger on the church question. We're gonna make somebody uncomfortable. You're gonna offend somebody." But I mean, he's bold as a lion, and he's tender and full of compassion. You say, "Where do you go to church?" You'll be amazed at the spiritual dialogue that creates by asking a simple question about church. When was the last time you had a conversation with someone about church or shared with someone your salvation experience? You know, last week I was in an airport and I stopped by and I used the men's restroom. And as I'm washing my hands, how many are glad to know that Pastor washes his hands? As I'm washing my hands, I see right there on the sink, there's a tract, a Christian tract. How many remember the tracts? Yeah, a little gospel presentation, a little pamphlet there. And honestly, okay, I'm telling on myself. Honestly, permission to be honest here just for a moment. Everybody say permission granted. Okay, and I've been honest up until this point, okay? So I haven't been lying to you, but I'm going to be like brutally honest here. When I saw that track on the sink of that men's bathroom in that airport, my first thought was, oh, really? I mean, come on, for real? That's so outdated. I mean, there's a better way of presenting the God. How many men are really going to stop and read? And do you know God interrupted me in my thoughts? How many of you ever had God just arrest you right in your thinking? And he said this, "Hey, preacher man." You know it's bad when God starts the conversation with, "Hey, preacher man." He said, "If 10,000 men walk into this restroom today and only one man picks up that tract and he reads it and he gives his life to Jesus, was it worth it for that one?" Oh, how many know I had to repent right there in that nasty, smelly bathroom? Lord, forgive me. I was getting critical over something like that. When you know what, that could be the very seed planted in someone's soul that changes their eternity. Sharing your faith. And then God finished the conversation with me by saying this, "Oh, by the way, Pastor, have you shared your faith with anyone today?" Can I tell you, it's easier for me to stand up on this stage sometimes and preach the gospel than it is to sit at the table with someone and have coffee and just talk about Jesus. Let me tell you this. Sometimes we think a missionary is someone who crosses the sea. Can I tell you, sometimes it's as simple as crossing the street. Some of you need to walk across the street and just start a conversation. I'm not saying you got to beat someone up with the Bible. The Bible's not a billy club. You're not beating anybody up with the Bible. "Well, Mike, I just don't know enough scripture." You don't have to be a theologian to talk about what God has done for you. I'll tell you this, listen to this. A man with an argument is always at the mercy of a man with an experience. Somebody want to argue the Bible? No, that's not what this is about. I've got an experience in Jesus. Let me tell you what he did for me, and I would love for him to do the same for you. Share your faith. It'll keep you sharp. Mike, what if they reject me? Never let your fear of rejection be greater than your love for the lost. Don't let your fear of rejection keep you. Man, it's our love for the lost that motivates us. Let me ask you this. Did people reject Jesus? You better believe they did. So much so that they crucified him. This is our master. This is our leader. This is our king. If he experienced rejection, guess what? We will too. It's no big deal. Shake that stuff off. Go to Home Depot, buy you a ladder, and get over it. I meant that in the most Christian kind way possible. Turn to your neighbor and say, Pastor still loves you. Nothing but love for you. Lift up your eyes and look at the fields. Can I have a good amen? Go on an outreach. It keeps you in touch. Share your faith. It'll keep you sharp. And then the third thing, number three, get a revelation of hell. It'll give you a sense of urgency. Now, I know that it's a risk for me to say that. When I say the word hell, it makes people uncomfortable. I get it. The very concept of hell is disturbing. Mike, I didn't come to church today for you to condemn me to hell. I came here to feel good. If I'd have known you'd been preaching on hell, I'd have just stayed at the house and got that extra hour of sleep. You know, Jesus had more to say about hell than he did heaven. Why is that? Some of us, the best thing that could happen to us is that we get a revelation of hell. When was the last time you went to church and heard a message preached on hell? Now, I know this isn't the nice, comfortable, cozy, but let me tell you this. If we heard more about hell from the pulpit, we may experience less hell in our lives. Come on. Well, I don't know if I agree with that. Luke 16 talks about hell. Mark chapter 9, Jesus said it's a place of eternal torment where the worm never dies and the flames are never quenched. When people die lost without Jesus, where do they go? Well, I just don't want to think about it. Well, you better. You better. Because we have a responsibility to address someone's eternity. Whoa, time out. Time out. Hell is a terrible place. But you don't have to go there. You know, my daughters read that book. And I think Rachel read it as well. How many of you read the book, Heaven is for Real? Oh, I love it. Great book from a kid's perspective who, you know, had an experience where he literally experienced heaven. I mean, it gives us great hope for eternity. But you know what? Hell is just as real. And if we don't have a revelation of hell, then we may lose a sense of urgency. And people are slipping into eternal damnation every single day. And it better bother us. If it doesn't bother us, then maybe we're into something apathetic and indifferent. I think that's the plan of the enemy for the modern church today. If we can explain away hell, we can take away the urgency of our mission. What is our mission? You know what Healing Place Church's mission is? To make it hard for people to go to hell in this city. Why are we here as a church? We're going to do everything within our power to make it difficult for men and women, for families to slip into eternal separation from Christ. That's who we are as a church. If they're going to go to hell, they'll have to ignore every outreach that we ever do. They'll have to ignore our block parties at the inner city. They'll have to avoid the fact that we've got a dream center in downtown Baton Rouge. Every bottle of water that's passed out, every item given away from benevolence and food pantry, anything that we've ever done in this city, they'll have to ignore it. They'll have to close their eyes to every act of kindness. They'll have to avoid our church services and the Spirit of God that we sense in our worship. They'll have to close their ears to the truth that a loving God cares cares about their broken world. They'll have to resist our passion, reject our message, renounce our spirit, and refuse our Jesus. Because he stands in the way as a roadblock. He stands between lost humanity and eternal damnation. And he says, no, you don't have to go there. And our message as a church, through love and compassion and truth, is God loves you. You don't ever have to be separated from him. Heaven is for real, but hell is just as real. And if we don't think about eternal separation from Christ, we won't have any urgency. Why do you think we would spend money to put together a pamphlet like this? This little handout, well, it's just a piece of paper. Do you know that there, I counted them, 18 different serving opportunities that we can be a part of between now and Easter. Somebody needs to sign up for this. Somebody needs to step out of their comfort and to reach into someone else's pain. This backside over here, downloading graphics. Johnny talked about through social media, extending an invitation to someone. You never know. It could be a lifeline. It could be just the opportunity they've been waiting for. And through Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, you have an opportunity to invite someone to Easter. You know, in our 9 o'clock service, Sean Gardner was here earlier. I don't know if he's in this service again, but I saw him sitting right here on this fourth row. And it reminded me of how he was introduced to Healing Place Church. Do you know, he's a gym instructor at AIM. Ashley, you know Sean. Great guy. A lot of you know Sean. He, a tremendous young man, but he was living in darkness, lost and away from God. As a gymnastics instructor at AIM, one of the little girls from this church who was in his gym class heard the message about, hey, Easter's coming, invite someone. Send a text, invite someone. Make an ask. Include someone, invite someone to Easter at HPC. So this little girl, this was 3 years ago, and I don't know how old is Myrna here? How old is Sydney? Sydney, right? 11. She's 11? Okay, so when she was 8 years old, she invited Sean, her gymnastics instructor, come to church at Easter. So guess what? He came. Yeah. Well, go figure. An 8-year-old girl would ask her instructor to come to church, and he took her up on the invitation. Sean, there he is, right there. Sean's standing right there. Sean, why don't you wave at everybody? This is Sean. Ladies and gentlemen, clap your hands and show your love. Sean Gardner. He came March of 2010 to HPC. And in fact, you invited your mama too. After you came, God did such a work in Sean's life, surrendered himself to the cause of Christ. Now, it's not only impacted him, but his family, all because an 8-year-old girl said, would you consider coming to church? You know, that's how this church has been built. It's not by our great music, which our music, I'm telling you, our music is fantastic. It's not by our phenomenal preaching. Let me tell you, we got some good preaching too. We got some great preachers. I'm not saying that in a self-serving way. We have some amazing communicators, both men and women, who can present the gospel. And all of that's great. But you know what's built this church? Investing and inviting. You sow a seed in the community, you invite someone to church. You do a small act of kindness, you invite someone into God's house. That's worked for 20 years. Guess what? It still works today. Jesus told the disciples, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are white already unto harvest. Do you catch that today? Let me close. I want to invite the band to come up. Let me give you this final thought. And I always do this. I always plan to say more than what I get to. But God knows what needs to be said and what doesn't. Amen? Last thought. Let me close here. I'm going to land the plane right here. Pray for the lost. It keeps you from being selfish. Go on an outreach. It keeps you in touch. Share your faith. It'll give you that razor sharp edge. You get a revelation of hell, you'll have a sense of urgency about your life. But let me say this. make a decision that you're going to pray for some lost people. How many of you have people maybe in your family or close friends or someone that you work with or maybe a neighbor that's not serving the Lord? Let me see your hand. Let me see your hand. You know someone that needs Jesus. Keep your hand up. You know someone that needs the Lord. Okay, well, here's what I want to encourage you to do. Either on your phone or on a piece of paper, just put their name down right now. Write down their name. Because there's something intentional about identifying those who are in darkness. Writing their name down, it gives you a sense of responsibility. Because obviously you have access into their life. You have influence. Now, watch this. Out of 100 men, there may be just one man that'll read the Bible. But 99 will read the Christian. And so they're reading your life. And what you do, your relationship with them, it really could be the difference between heaven and hell. Now, the sad truth is this. Most of my prayers are kind of centered around me. When I go to the Lord, a lot of times I'm praying for what I need. Let me ask you this. If God were to pray, what do you think his prayers are for? I think it may have something to do with 37 lines of lost humanity. And if we want God to anoint us and bless us as a church, why don't we just do the things that God's passionate about? Why don't we just focus all of our energy and all of our attention on what matters most to God? You say, Mike, I don't matter to God. Oh, yes, you do. But once you make a decision to serve him, guess what? He has now enlisted you into an army of believers whose mission is to do something about those 37 lines. I wonder how many lost people woke up today in the Baton Rouge metropolitan region. And I wonder if what we talked about today will have any impact on where they spend eternity. I wonder if men and women will leave this church this morning with a sense of urgency, saying, well, I can't do everything, but I can do something. My question to you this morning is this: will you do something about those 37 lines of lost humanity? If we'll do our part, God will do his. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.